It's Mother's Day today, and we're not going to overlook that because moms are wonderful, and they're a blessing, and they're vital. And so I want us to talk, what are we going to talk today? Yeah, I'm going to talk about a mom in Scripture in just a little bit, but this is not just for moms, this is for everyone. And so I want us to begin something we haven't done in a while. I want us to read a few verses of Scripture aloud and together. They'll be up on the screen, okay? So here we go. Are you ready? Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether it be a full stomach or hunger, plenty or want, for I can do everything God asks me to with help of Christ who gives me the strength and power. And one more, verse 19, let's drop down to it. And it is He who will supply all your needs from His riches in glory because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word, which lives and abides forever. Lord, it's what feeds us. It's what strengthens us. It's what helps us to grow in the grace, the knowledge of the Lord. We thank You for it. Amen. From the verses that we read, I want us to note that Scripture lets us know that contentment is not the result of our circumstances. I'm still getting a little bit of ring here, Alex, if you can. I figured you were. But anyway, contentment is something that is, it's intentionally learned. Contentment is an inside job. Contentment is a learned skill that needs to be practiced. I mean, you know, you don't get good at anything unless you put in a little practice. By the way, practice doesn't make perfect. You know, because I have practiced things wrong. And I did it perfectly wrong. Perfect practice makes perfect, but you know, you grow into that to you learn how to get it right. Okay, so anyway, it's a learned skill that needs to be practiced purposefully over a period of time, just like any other skill. But it's important that we understand what contentment is and what it's not. Contentment is not, hear me, it's not accepting the status quo. Contentment is not just being, trying to convince yourself you're happy as you're being run over by life as it comes at you. It's not contentment. Contentment is not apathy. And it's not an attitude of resignation. You know, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. That's not what contentment is. Let me ask you this morning. Be slow to answer now. Does a person who has $9 million have more contentment than a person who has 9 children? Yes, the correct answer is no. Why? Well, because the millionaire often has less contentment because they want more. The person with 9 children usually doesn't want anymore. Too many people live by the motto, just a little bit more. But when is enough ever enough? You see, like addictions, increasing how much we consume only increases how much more we want. Learning contentment means not being driven by always wanting more. Also, contentment is not the result of the absence of problems. Listen, problems in this world are inevitable. Why? Because we live in an imperfect world. with imperfect people, which includes all of us. Amen? Yeah. Let me tell you what the issue is. It's the way we see problems that is the problem. The way we see problems is the problem. Listen, let me repeat myself. Problems won't make you strong. Problems will not build character. I don't care how many preachers tell you that, it is not true. Problems reveal how strong you are. Problems reveal what kind of character you currently have. And if you don't like what you see in yourself, well, maybe it's time to change. See, we want to be people who aren't just experiencing. We want to be people who are learning. You see, too many people, they experience a lot in life, but it only hardens them. Because whenever you go through difficult times, hard times, you know what? You can react with blame, anger, discouragement, denial, and become more cranky. Not more compassionate. You can lose a soft, pliable heart and become hardened in your heart toward people and situations. Or you can respond in faith and proclaim the promises of God and trust Him in your problems. The one thing that you can't be sure of, you will choose your attitude. It's true for every one of us. We get to choose our attitude. As I've often said, if problems made us strong, guess what? We would all be super strong, right? We'd all be super strong because we've all gone through hard times. We've all had difficulties. We've all had pains. But listen, problems don't make you strong. It's the faith you use in going through the problem. That's what makes you strong. It's the exercising of faith. Standing on the promises of God's word instead of quitting. Take strength, but as you do that, it also develops strength. When you're responsive to God and doing what He says for you to do in the midst of your problem, you're following Him through your problem, you begin to change, and your problems begin to change. So let's get into it here. The first key in learning the art of contentment is this. We all like to grumble and gripe about the things we're struggling with, don't we? I got this problem. I have work with this idiot down there, and he's such a, we complain. But listen to me. Whenever you speak of problems, speak of them as changing. Why? Because you ask the question, what does God's word say? This will allow you to develop a right perspective of your problems. Listen, we all suffer one of two pains. Every person on the planet suffers with at least one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. I don't know about you, but I hate regret. I hate it. The difference is discipline weighs an ounce, while regret weighs a ton. There's a simple rule in life that looks like this. Contentment equals reality minus self-centered expectations. Even Christians can be very discontented. Followers of Jesus can wish their way through their prayer list, in essence saying, God, by the way, don't pray this prayer, but God, I want you to help me fulfill my purposes for my life. See, God, this is the source of my contentment. You fulfilling my desires. In Jesus' name, amen. The beginning of wisdom. I'm going to combine a whole lot of verses together to reduce it down to this. Is when you come to the place, please, Lord, don't leave me to my own desires. My own selfish, self-centered, fleshly desires. Please, Lord, deliver me from me. Help me to change. Yeah, but, you know, you got to live, Pastor. Okay, all right. Let's look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He says, so, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For pagans, people who don't even know God, run after all these things. This is their life's pursuit. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. So what are we to do? He says, but here's what we're to do. You seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, His right ways. What scripture, what He says, these are right, these are wrong. You're going to go with that. And all of these things will be given to you as well. Contentment is a byproduct of a life focused on God, seeking His kingdom, His righteousness, living according to His word. So the question, at least I ask myself, feel free to take it on too, whose kingdom am I building? All for me, Lord. What I want, when I want it, how I want it. Or Lord, do I really belong to you? Yes, okay. Then maybe I ought to get on track of what you've called my life to be about and for. There's a woman who lived her whole life, and in her life, she never saw the totality of the greatness of her life and actions and the family she would have. Her name is Ruth. Ruth. Ruth changed the world. She took her pain and her problems, and with a right heart and a right perspective, she presented them to God as the raw materials that He would be able to use to build her future. I want you to know that God can take anything. He can take the garbage that's been thrown at you. He can take the hard things in your life, and He can make your future. But listen to me, we have to do our part. We have to cooperate with what God is wanting to do in us. You just can't sit there with your Apple TV remote and, okay, God, here I am. Do whatever you can for me while I surf here. No. If we'll let her, whether you're male or female, Ruth will mentor us on how to conduct ourselves when we have downturns in our lives. How many of you know about downturns in life? Yes. So let's learn from Ruth. But first, let me tell you, there was a retiring building contractor who was asked by the president of his company to build one last house before he retired. He reluctantly agreed and half-heartedly built it using cheap materials and poor workmanship as shortcuts to finishing it. When he finished the house, he comes in and said, sir, it's all done. I'm ready to go retire now. The president of the company presented him with the keys to that very house as a gift for all his years of faithful service to the company. Now, if he had known that it would be his house, wouldn't he have built it better? I think so. It's the same with God and us. We give Him the materials with which to build our future through the things that we do and the attitude in which we do those things, even when we're not aware of what's going on. You see, our attitude and what we learn during terrible circumstances are the building materials that God uses to build our future. We don't have to worry about our futures as long as we are willing and obedient to God. That's what Isaiah 1:19 says. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So how do we prepare ourselves for God's future for us? two things that we're going to have time to focus on this morning. Number one, never let downturns become U-turns. Never let downturns become U-turns in your life. Ruth understood this. Though she had major problems in life. If you're not familiar, you ought to read it. The book of Ruth is what, four chapters, I think? It's a good read. But though she had major problems in life, she remained faithful to God and ultimately became the great-grandmother to King David. Ruth was a Moabite. She was not an Israelite, but she married an Israelite. Unfortunately, she experienced a lot of tragedy. First, her father-in-law dies, then her husband dies, and then her husband's brother dies. And she was urged to go back to her Moabite family because she's not an Israelite. Her mother-in-law says, I've got nothing left here, because they had left Israel, moved to Moab, and were living there when all the tragedy then struck them in a few years. Now, her sons had married two Moabite women. And she says, you go back to your family. You go back to your gods. I'm going to go back to Israel. But Ruth refused because she had come to know the God of Israel and wanted to be faithful to him. She knew that running back to her Moabite family would be letting a downturn in her life become a U-turn in her faith. And she wasn't willing to do that. Listen, every one of us will experience downturns in our life. There'll be job loss, love loss, friendship loss, family loss. But the important thing is, what are you going to do about it? What decisions will you make? Are you going to allow a downturn to make a U-turn in your faith and end up back where you were before? Ruth made a decision, no. And her faith-filled determination is revealed in her response. Just read three verses here. Look, said Naomi, this is her mother-in-law. Your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. In other words, you stay here in Moab. But Ruth replied, listen to this. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. This was her commitment. Ruth uprooted herself and went to Bethlehem in Israel, but she did not complain. You read portions of her life there. She harvested leftovers in grain fields of other people like a poor person, which is a good lesson to learn from her. Sometimes after we experience a downturn or a setback, nobody wants to start over from the bottom, even though that is where we need to be for the humility of our souls. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Well, you see, Pastor, I was fired from working out at the quick shop and stocking the shelves there, and I'm holding out now for a management position somewhere else. Okay, good goal, but sometimes you don't get to start there. Ruth teaches that if we're going to consecrate the events of our lives into building blocks that God then can use to build his wonderful and miraculous future for us, then we must learn the art of contentment in every circumstance, not for them. From her, we can also learn this. Number two, don't take shortcuts. Shortcuts will make whatever we're going through unusable to God. Although many of the poor women in Israel in that day who were like Ruth when they would go out and harvest, they would end up becoming prostitutes to survive. And Ruth, no, I'm not going to go the common way that this is common understanding and wisdom of the age is this is the direction that a person in my plight has to go. She said no. She believed God for something more and better. God's direction are not they're not optional for us as Christian. It reminds me of a saw in one of the national parks that said, stay on the path and take no shortcuts because it may cause erosion. Life is like that. Taking shortcuts will erode your soul. Sometimes we have to be patient too, because God's plan takes time to unfold. Habakkuk chapter 2 says in verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will reveal itself. It will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now I want you to notice this. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just, those who are following the Lord Jesus, the just shall live by his faith. Listen, God's plans for us, each one of us, may take a while to bear fruit, but we have to remain willing and obedient. And if your heart is right, and you have to make what's going on the inside of you, you have to tell yourself, no, all right, what I'm thinking on the inside, this is not right. This is not what Scripture tells me. This is not what I know of my Heavenly Father. This is not right for me to be thinking in these terms, these way, about my situation, about the people involved. This is wrong. So Phil, shut up. Stop it. Just because you think a thought doesn't make it right. Well, Pastor, but I thought it. All by yourself, huh? You see, that's the problem. You did. You did think it up all by yourself. And that's the whole issue. The Scripture calls us to renew our minds. To take out, again, you know, you're going to renew a piece of furniture. What do? You strip off all the varnish. I wanted to say polyurethane, but it didn't come that quickly. So, you know, the stain, everything. Get down to bare wood, and then you put on something new so that it looks different. You got to think differently. Because I don't know about you, but I have still too much stinking thinking. And that gets me in trouble. And I don't like trouble. Because trouble brings pain. Pain brings fear, and fear leads to the dark side. Just saying. If your heart is right, then what you do will be usable to God in the future. You see, contentment grows. It's developed out of humility. That means not putting myself first, not demanding what I want, but looking around and seeing how I can help others, how I can lift them, and trust in God. God, I'm trusting you. Even though I don't see a way through my mess, you're with me, and that's enough. Pride, envy, jealousy, things like that, they're all self-centered, self-focused. And you know what? These things, they seek your destruction. No, no, it's what I want. No, it's what you think you want, but I promise you. How many of you ever got something that you wish you never got? I'm not talking about COVID either. I mean, you know. You thought it was a good thing, and then it turned out, no, it's not what I thought. There's a lot in life that we still don't see. These are enemies to your contentment. Humility puts others first and allows us to be content with God's leading in our life. What is God saying to you? Oh, I don't know. Well, then you better find out. And if you seek the Lord, you will hear Him speak. He'll speak to you out of His Word. Follow God's leading. Such contentment gives us security. Letting humility, trust, and the peace of God umpire in your hearts. You think thoughts, you feel certain things. Wait a minute. That contradicts God and His character. And so you, as an umpire in a baseball game, you're calling what is a ball, what's a strike, what's safe, what's out. No, that's out of here. Let the peace of God umpire in your thinking. This will give you strength and freedom to serve others. Two more passages and we're done. I want you to read with me. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Lots of believers, they're growing spiritually, but there's the missing component is contentment. And that is what is great gain. I'd have been happy if it just would have said gain. I like gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Now, leave that up there just for a minute. It's so important because you'll meet certain groups of Christians that they twist Scripture and come up with all kinds of nonsense. I want you to notice carefully what it says. Okay. Not sure why, but... And what's the next word? Having. You know God wants you to have stuff? And having food and clothing. With these we'll be content. Finally, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, keep yourselves free. You've got to do something. You keep yourselves free from the love of money. Money is not the root of all evil. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says it's the love of money. And you know what? You can love money and not have a nickel in your pocket. Keep yourselves free from the love of money and be content with what you have. God's not saying, I don't want you to have anything. I want you to eat dirt and be happy about it. No, it's not what He says. Keep your lives free from the money and be content with what you have. Why? Because God has said, never will I leave you. And if He's the source of everything that you need, He says, never will I forsake you. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to run out on you. So we may say with confidence, the Lord is, He is my helper. I don't have to be afraid. I will not to be afraid. What can anybody do to me? When you've got the Lord, you have everything you need. Again, we read at the beginning, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. Not according to your job, not according to the economy. What's Washington? What stupid thing are they doing now to make life rougher for us? Some of you are just so wound up so tightly, and I want the peace of God for you. I want you to come to know your Heavenly Father who loves you, who gave Jesus Christ, who sacrificed more than just for the forgiveness of your sins so you go to heaven, but all things that pertain to life and godliness are found in Him. In Him. And when you've got Him, you truly have everything that you need. Right now, would you again just bow your heads just for a moment? I want to give you a moment to act on an aspect of this. And if you would, just talk to God and say, God, help me to have a right heart. And from there, if you will sanctify your bad stuff. We've talked about what sanctification is. Sanctification is using something for its, according to its design, its purpose, not misusing it. And I don't know about you, but there's been so many hard things, difficult things, painful things in my life that I've misused, that I have to come back and say, God, I sanctify this now. Forgive me for my wrong attitudes, the wrong things I did and said. But I want you to take my bad stuff and I want you to make it good. You turn it around for good. I want you to use it to build my future. Listen to me, it's not too late. Whatever's happened in your past, God can and will redeem if you'll bring it to Him. Would you just, in your own words, just talk to God right now. Lord, help me. Help me to do this thing. Sometimes in this process, you have to humble yourself and you have to come to somebody else and say, look, I'm sorry for the things that I've done and said, and I want to change, and I'm trusting God to help me. But if I get out of line, would you help me by just reminding me that God wants something better for you than this? Ask the people that you've been struggling with, ask them to help you, because we all need a little help. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you. May God's grace and favor rest upon you and moms on this day. May the favor of God and the blessing of the Lord, who makes rich and adds no sorrow, may He fill your life with good things.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.